Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Joe here from the Guitar Nerds, and you're listening to the absolute wet fart of an audio serial, the Guitar Nerds Podcast. This week, tragedy has befallen the regular proceedings, as I'm somewhere in the north of England, absolutely knee-deep in the debauchery and depravity that is the Strange Forms Avant-Garde Music Festival. Suddenly unsupervised and seemingly incapable of either reading episode notes or mastering the controls of a basic audio recording device, Mark and Jay have gone it alone in this rather special trip down memory lane.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joined today...
the world's number one guitar podcast.
Hello and
welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one Guitar Nerds Podcast.
You're listening to the open auditions for new host of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. It's just me and Jay today. Joe Branton is dead and Matt has been dead for a while, so...
yeah, and I feel dead today.
Yeah, so just a quick explainer. We've both had a bit of a heavy night, and also we're recording on not the usual equipment because we normally record, a little plug for them, on the Zoom H6 recorder.
We've been using since like 2013.
Yeah, normally, you know, you'd think if that's the equipment we record on, what you would do is you would leave the SD card that we record on with the equipment. Unfortunately, Joe Branton's mind doesn't work like that. And
the thing you've got to remember is Joe has got a little wallet that holds 4 SD cards, and I think he feels uncomfortable if there's not 4 SD cards in there at all times.
Listen, right, he's purchased the wallet and he's not afraid to use it. So we've kind of put together some sort of slapdash setup here that I think it's going to work, but we are reliant on my laptop battery holding out. So what you might get this week is a bit of a slapdash episode that doesn't quite... firstly, reach the standards of your normal Joe Branton quality episode, but also you might get an episode that doesn't reach the length of the normal Guitar Nerds episode.
Because, we might cut out when your battery runs out.
Exactly that. Yeah. I was thinking, I'll stroll over to Jay's today, and I'll take my laptop, because, you know, I'll be reading the episode notes and stuff, and, I won't need the power supply, because I'm at 100%. So... it's fine.
Can't get more than that.
Can't get more than 100%. Despite what Jeremy Kyle will tell you at 110% all the time.
Okay.
You can't get 110%.
Okay.
Or, you know, when people say like, oh yeah, I believe you 110%. You can't get that. Anyway, so we're recording on this laptop. We might finish the episode early because...
So what is that we're using? Is that an iRig Pro?
IK Multimedia iRig Duo.
Okay. I didn't even know that was in my house. I don't know where you found that.
Yeah, it's been in the bag. We used to use it when we were streaming on whatever it was
called.
Amplify, yeah. We'd use it to
What happened to
that? They went up. They just didn't,
stopped.
They just stopped.
Yeah, fair enough.
It was fine. So if the episode is a bit short this week, that's why. If the episode's a bit slapdash this week, two reasons. Firstly, we're a bit hungover in that. Secondly, the news that Joe Branton had compiled for us to read out this episode was all so boring. That we've decided to just make an episode out of not the usual format.
Normally what would happen is Joe would give us all of this news and we would say, this is boring, mate. No one cares about this stuff. And then he would say, no, people care. Just because it's not a pop punk guitar, blah, 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 blah. But it was all boring. And normally this is a battle we would probably lose, but because he's not here...
Yeah, we can do it if we want.
We can do what we want.
The boys are back in town. So what I thought we'd do is we'd throw the normal format out the window and just kick it old school, like we used to do. Just a bit more freeform. So we've got a couple of ideas. Firstly, Jay, you were out at a gig last night. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Secondly, you've kind of saved the episode a bit because we had nothing to talk about until you went... Oh, by the way, I've got this box of stuff and it's like old guitar magazines and a lot of copies of the Fender Frontline, which is weird because it was essentially a price list and a kind of like product guide for retailers, but they used to charge for it. There's someone here that are like $4.99.
There was one, yeah, I can't, where is it? It was £4. It was £4, something that that Fender used to charge people for. Just to have a look at the catalogue.
I think the deal behind it was that retailers got it for free, but they also got extra copies that they could sell to customers
at
£4. But yeah, there's some absolute gold in there. So we've got ones from like 1999.
I think there's one that goes back to 1998.
There is. This one, the 1998 one is a bit rubbish, but the 1999 one has got some good stuff in it that we can talk about. There's also one of them came with a nice poster of Eric Clapton.
Yeah, absolutely. He's wearing a white suit.
He's wearing an all white suit.
Oversized suit.
Read into that what you will. Let's talk about the gig that you were at last night.
So I went to see Jawbreaker last night. Jawbreaker are one of the seminal 90s punk bands. They kind of blurred the line between 90s pop punk and grunge. They toured with Nirvana. They toured with a lot of bands who you would know. And they never broke. Like they never got big. And I think it kind of like upset them back in the day.
Got the angries.
So they put out some great records, really great records. And I mean, the one that really stands out and I think really holds the test of time is Dear You, which is just an absolutely fantastic record. There's some great songs on there. After like not being a band for, I guess, 20 years or something, a couple of years ago, they did a reunion show in Chicago for the Riot Fest festival. And it went well, and yeah, they've been playing shows. So yeah, I went to see Jawbreaker last night. It was going to be at Brixton Academy. Brixton Academy, which is like 5,000 capacity. It didn't end up being there. It ended up being at the O2 Forum in Kentish Town, which I prefer as a venue anyway. And they were being supported by Beach Slang, who are this band who we've talked about before. Ed, who used to play in Beach Slang, has been on the podcast a couple of times.
Yeah,
he isn't in the band anymore. He left to go and, I don't know, live in Asia, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, is that what he's doing now?
Nah, he's like traveling.
Right.
You know, living a free life.
Knocking around.
Yeah, you know, just like being Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So, it was really good. Really cool to see Beach Slang Jawbreaker were quality. I had an absolute nightmare journey home. Didn't get home until like 2:30 this morning.
Let's talk about your mate who was on the train as well.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so there was some sort of issue with the train on the way home, that the train in front had broken down or something. And basically, I got to Gatwick, which is about halfway between where I started and where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And the announcement came out saying, oh yeah, unfortunately there's a freight train has broken down. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We'll keep you updated. And we ended up sitting there for like an hour and a half. I'd like just gone to sleep. I just curled up on a little two-person seat. There wasn't that many people on the train. I just curled up and just went to sleep. And at 1:45 in the morning, I got woken up by a geezer who was playing a Johnny Cash song on his acoustic guitar. It's like, mate, it is 1:45 in the morning. We've all been stuck in this train for hours. What are you doing? And I stood up and I was ready to like tell him to do one. Like, you know, try and be the savior. Be like, listen, mate, no one needs this. Give it a rest. Everyone else on the train, loving it.
No.
Everyone else on the train was loving it. I couldn't believe what was going on. I could not believe what was going on.
Painful.
It was awful. I was so tired. I was really tired. And yeah, it was a pretty hectic journey home. But yeah, anyway, I got here and then, I don't know, 6 hours later, we're podcasting,
yeah,
which is nice and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that dude before. He is quite notorious on the South Coast trains.
I think he referred to himself as like the Camden Cash or something like that.
God.
It was something like that. And I was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, honestly.
Yeah, I've exchanged a few angry glances with him before.
But the thing is like, he wasn't busking. He wasn't asking people for money. He was just playing his guitar for people.
Was he walking up and down the train?
No.
It might be a different guy. But there is a guy who I've exchanged many angry glances with before moving into the first class section and closing the door angrily.
But still staring at him as the door closes.
Yeah. It's like, mate, I'm on my way home from work. You're playing Johnny Cash badly and singing badly. But the people are loving it. That's the problem.
I couldn't believe it.
We're just the angry old men.
I guess so.
And some people want a bit of entertainment on their train journey. I, for one, do not.
I mean, I had entertainment on my train journey. It was called listening to some Spotify.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Having a great time.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, you know, buskers, whatever, absolutely fine. You know, they're out on the street. You know, if you want to get involved, you can get involved. If you want to swerve them, you can swerve them. If you're stuck on a train on your way home at 1:45 in the morning and someone strikes up the Johnny Cash, it's not ideal.
I was not feeling it, I've got to be honest.
What was the gear situation at Jawbreaker and Beachlang?
They were using... So Beachlang was using... So Moore, who plays bass, was using a American Performer P bass, which is which has got the Yosemite pickups in, with the Yosemite PJ pickups. Aurora, who plays guitar, was using the Duosonic from the Offset series, and James, who plays guitar, is using his like Epiphone.
It's like it's just a dot.
I don't think it's a dot.
I thought when I saw him, he was playing like one of those Dot Studios.
Yeah, maybe it's like the white one,
like the cheapest one that you could get.
Yeah.
With the two controls rather than the four.
He was that's what he was playing, which is what he's been playing for years, apparently.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think it got nicked and he just was like, you know, gutted and then just went and bought another one.
Yeah, yeah. all their stuff got stolen, didn't it, at one point?
So, I think that might have happened twice, actually.
Okay. Because I know that Aurora got that guitar after their stuff got stolen the last time.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had some amps and stuff. It was like, oh, I think it was all nicked out of a trailer.
I think it was at South by Southwest.
Right.
I think it was when it was...
Classic.
Yeah, just like loads of... like bumbling musicians just like knocking about, probably stoned, like, yeah, man, peace and love, everything's gonna be fine.
It's the ultimate opportunity to just swoop in,
yeah, and just like unhook a trailer and then hook it up to your car,
yeah, totally.
You know what's gonna be in there,
yeah. So what about Jawbreaker?
So I was side stage for Jawbreaker, so I couldn't really see what was going
listen
on.
To you, Mr. VIP.
Well, you know, I am a very important,
yeah, I agree.
Person.
Sure.
So Blake Schwarzenbach is left-handed and was using a Les Paul Custom.
Yeah, which I think he's always
which
used.
Which I think is the guitar he's just used forever.
Yeah.
And that was going into... I can't remember what he was using amp-wise. I couldn't see because I think it was just a couple of Marshall stacks.
Right.
And then the bass player was... I don't know what bass he was using. I think it was a P bass, and I think it was going into an Orange.
I'm pretty sure when I've seen photos of them, he's used a P bass.
Oh, no, I tell you what he used to use. I don't know if he was using it then. He used to use an antique. He had an antique P bass. Yeah. That's like kind of his Chris Bauermeister, I think is his name.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a really good documentary on Jawbreaker if you get the chance to watch it. I put on a screening of it last year or the year before, and it's kind of all about their journey to becoming a band again and kind of getting over the fact that, you know...
They all hate each other.
Well, they don't all hate each other. I think they're just, you know, they're very different people. But the history of the band was really interesting. Really, really interesting. And the documentary's quality. It's really good fun.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. And yeah, good band. Great band.
It's one of those kind of no-holds-barred documentaries where they really go into, like, why they broke up and this kind of animosity between them.
Yeah, there are some like very frank and open conversations, which are, you know, the two kind of protagonists kind of just looking at each other being like, yeah, like we didn't really get on, did we?
Yeah.
No. Do we get on now?
Not really sure.
Like, you know, it's really good though. It's really good. That was recorded before they agreed to reunite. I think it was like the 20th anniversary of DU or something that was recorded for, and they were just gonna be in a studio and just be interviewed, and Blake was like, look, we're not gonna play any songs.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
the magic happened.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
The big comeback was the Riot Fest show, wasn't it, where they got paid a lot of money.
To do that. And but, you know, good on them.
Yeah, sure. You know, if you can do it, if you can get the money.
Totally.
Do it.
Totally, absolutely. It was good. It was good. It was like a good show. There was a lot of people there that I knew. And it was fun.
That's why you're feeling bad right now.
And that's why I'm feeling quite bad. What's your excuse? Because we were together watching the football. And then I went off to do something, and then you went to bed.
I mean, I fell asleep about 8 o'clock. I'm feeling good. I'm totally up for a podcast.
Good.
A slightly wonky podcast.
Ponky wodcast.
Indeed. One thing that we should have been talking about today was how I've just got a Baja telly in Shell Pink.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, someone left it at work.
Oops.
Someone who was supposed to bring it back for me to enjoy this weekend, and probably would have meant that I didn't drink so many beers yesterday. I would have had a nice evening, new guitar, loving it. Where's that guitar?
By my desk.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I forgot.
Thanks very much. Well, hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about my shiny new guitar.
Speaking of shiny new guitars, friend of the podcast, Danny G. Grace.
Oh, yeah.
He maybe has bought a brand new guitar, not brand new guitar, but it looks like from the pictures that he sent us yesterday, he has actually gone out and bought his dream guitar, which is the double cut Les Paul Junior custom shop in white.
Yeah, vintage white.
Basically, the guitar he's been talking about looking out for ages. The shop around the corner from his house got one in secondhand.
Yeah.
And it looks like he went and bought it last week.
I found out about that because yesterday morning I woke up and I was like, I'll just see what's come up on Reverb, see if there's any like people clearing some stuff out of the weekend, see if there's any good bargains, any pedals or anything. And I saw his SG on there, which is very distinct because it's two Mississippi Queens. It's a Les Paul SG standard, but he's putting two Mississippi Queen like P90 humbuckers, P90 in a humbucker housing, mm-hmm. And a Bigsby. And I was like, that's got to be Dan's guitar. Clicked on it and the shop was like, Grace Guitars. and so I just texted him saying, why are you selling this? And then he just sent me the link to to the Les Paul. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. So yeah, I think he's got it. He sent me a picture with the case yesterday. He hasn't actually sent me a picture of the guitar. So yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want you to copy it.
What, get the same guitar?
Or just make a copy of it.
Of his picture?
Of his guitar.
Oh, yeah, sure, you know. Sure. Yeah, yeah. He's keeping the IP. He's keeping the rights on lockdown. But
freely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come onto the show at some point and talk about the guitar. But exciting stuff. I'm really sad to see that SG go, though, because like he's been using that in our band for a bit. And it does sound good.
Yeah.
Does sound good, but like he's got the telly and now he's got his dream guitar, so doesn't really need it.
He's got them both now.
That's the thing, isn't it?
He's sort of completed guitars.
I was talking to a friend about this the other night. He came around and we were talking about guitars and stuff. And it's like, I've got a Les Paul Junior. I've got a great telly on the way. I don't really need anything else.
Yeah. I've been thinking about what I want to do because I've got a load of stuff and not very much money at the moment. And I really want to get a custom shop P bass. But then at the same time, like I had band practice last. So actually, this is something we can talk about. I had band practice 2 weeks ago with Dan and we were practicing in this studio round the corner from my house. Dan and I don't share a house.
No.
We were practicing in a studio around the corner and my mate who was working there mentioned that I sold him an amp. I sold him my old Bassman, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And he said like, oh, if you ever, you know, if you ever want to borrow it, you're more than welcome to because, you know, you really sorted me out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, amazing. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, next time I'll have to give you a shout and let you know. And he was like, it's here if you want to use it tonight. And I did use it. And I tell you what, my P-bass into that amp, it sounded so good.
This is why I kind of feel like getting a custom shop P-bass, you don't really need it.
No, I don't, because that bass that I've got is so good.
Yeah. But American standard P-basses, or, you know, whatever they're called now.
Pros, yeah.
The pros. That's fine. That'll do. And I kind of feel like getting a custom shop six-string guitar, there is quite a jump.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the American Pro Strats are totally fine. You know, they'll definitely do the job. But you do notice a huge jump when you go up to custom shop. With, like, a P-bass, the American Pro P-basses, they're just that's what you want.
What more can you do, really?
Well, totally. So we, again, this the friend that I was talking to about, you know, having the Les Paul Junior in the telly, we were talking about basses and stuff, because he was saying, like, well, you know, you primarily play bass. Do you ever want another bass? And we sort of got onto, like, the other basses that I've owned, and we started looking at some YouTube videos, and I was like, okay, well, let's have a look at a Rickenbacker 4000.
Yeah.
And we kind of, like, looked at that, and he was like, yeah, sounds cool. Looked at Stingray, which I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to that, and he was like, yeah, okay, it's got a very, you know, distinct sound.
It's got
sound.
That sound, yeah.
It's got a distinct sound. We listened to a Jazz, which I've owned one of in the past. And also Gibson Ripper, which I've also owned.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like, can we just listen to a clip of a P-bass? And then we just put on P-bass videos, and he was like,
It just sounds better.
It sounds better. That is the sound of bass. Yeah. That's what bass guitars have sounded like since
1951.
Totally. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I totally get it. Because he, at the moment, he's umming and ahhing between, like, you know, like, some different guitars and stuff. And that's why we got into that conversation. And I was like, I'll just never need another bass.
Yeah.
And as much as we joke about Joe Branton never needing another gigging bass again, or whatever that ridiculous line was, if you've got a P bass, you don't need another bass.
And he says that as well, doesn't he? Because he's always trying to use his, like, weird stuff. And then he'll be like, oh, yeah, I used my P-bass. It sounded really good.
I just feel for manufacturers who are, like, making basses. Because I just kind of feel like we looked at some Fender videos of the... So you've got some videos up for the new, I think it's American Pro and American Performers on YouTube, of, like, some session people, like, playing them and talking about them and stuff. And, like, they're doing, like, funk, and they're doing, like, rock stuff, and and the P-bass just sounds great for everything.
Yeah.
And then you think there's all these people out there that are making, like, you know, like, custom basses with, like, 18-volt preamps and, you know, like, weird soap bar pickups and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you can do a lot with them, but the things that they do, none of them sound as good as
it's
the P-bass.
It's just plugging straight in.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I kind of feel like, what can you do with the bass other than just make a P-bass?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, you know, because I was thinking about what neck I want. Do I want a 57 or a 59 or a 58? Or, you know, I obviously want maple, so I'm not going to go 60s.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to someone at work, and they were like, well, you know, what neck is on your American standard? And I was like, I don't know, like a C? And he was like, well, just get that, because, you know that you like that, and it's comfortable, and, like, you play it well. So just do that. And then I thought, well, hang on a sec. If I'm just doing that,
just keep the,
why
keep
am I,
bass?
What am I going to do with that bass?
Well, I've thought about it a lot, you know, cause it, you know, there's some prestige with having a custom shop instrument.
Totally.
But like, what could the custom shop make for me that would be better than what I've got?
I mean, the obvious thing is I want it in shell pink.
Sure.
That's like the big obvious thing, but I could get my bass refinished.
Or
for the same money, I could just get mine refinished and like nitrode.
Yeah, I mean, that would cost you about £300.
Yeah,
roughly.
Which is a lot cheaper than buying a custom shop.
Totally.
But at the same time, like, I really like the Olympic White.
Well, exactly.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to keep an eye out for another. Like, because those American standards because that one's 2005, I think, like, they don't go for very much money.
No. You can get those for maybe £800, £700.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about, current reverb pricing. Yeah. £700, £800. But not weirdly, actually, they don't come up that much. You see a lot of Strats, American Standard or American Pro Strats. You see fair few Jazzes. Mm-hmm. You just don't see P-Basses that often. And I kind of think that is because people buy them and then they just keep them.
I wonder if it's... I know we've talked about this before about kind of how the attitude of different musicians, you know, guitar players are always on the lookout for their next guitar.
Yeah.
And I think also that's true of people like bass players like Joe, who want to have something different and want to have something, you know, a bit mad. Is, you know, you can always buy, you know, you can buy a Mayonnaise, or you can buy a Strandberg, or you can buy even a jazz bass. But the people who have bought P basses have bought P basses because they like the sound of the P bass.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think people who have those instruments are chopping and changing and trying to get something different.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And again, if you're into that sound and you've got an American Pro, there's not really anywhere to go from that.
Totally.
You could go to a custom shop, as we've discussed. Yeah. But like,
or again, you know, American Original.
Yeah, but...
Or there are, you know, yeah.
That's, to me, obviously they're more money, but to me, American Originals feel like a kind of sideways move. Like, you're getting something different than American Pro, but is it better?
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, if you want that kind of...
vintage vibe.
Vintage vibe, and, you know, you want the kind of period correct spec, then, yeah, fine. But is it better than an American Pro? I would say they're probably about the same.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
American Pro is just... such a good instrument.
They are great. But yes, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I need to have a think about it. Maybe I'll get a custom shop Mustang instead.
Well, this is the thing, is if you don't get a custom shop P-Bass, you get a custom shop Tele or whatever you want to get with that money.
I don't know,
that'll be more rewarding, I think, than going from Americans.
And I mean, who buys custom shop Mustangs? Like, I don't think I've ever seen one.
No, I don't think I have. Do they make them?
Or make anything.
Well, sure. But like, as part of the kind of standard series, can you just get a Mustang?
I don't think there's one in like the catalogue.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was asking.
Yeah. But I'm also not really sure what the catalogue looks like at the moment.
Sure. Well, I guess it's like Time Machine series.
Yeah.
I don't think they refer to it as that.
No. I don't know. I don't know, really, to be honest with you. But I mean, let's just have a quick look. I'd be very surprised if there is a if there's a Mustang on the website.
Well, we can get into this in a minute when we look through these old Macs, because this one from 99 has definitely got some custom shop stuff in it, so we can talk about kind of how that's changed. Yeah, if you go to the custom shop site, can you get like a Jaguar? Or
you can get a Jaguar. You can get this Game of Thrones House Lannister Jaguar, which is
the first
one on there. I tell you, the guitar that I've been seeing a lot recently through pictures on the custom shop and stuff, and that's the Chris Shiflett Tele. Have you seen that?
What, custom shop?
Chris Shiflett custom shop.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, so it's like Dakota Red block inlays, big Tele Deluxe headstock.
Yeah.
And then those peanut. It looks incredible.
Wow! So it's different spec from the Mexican one.
Yeah, which I think is still in the line.
Yeah, I think it is as well. Which has got humbuckers. This has got two P90s in there. Interesting. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I've seen this. Oh, it's cardinal red. Sorry. Yeah, I've seen this. This coming up. Lindy Fralin P90s.
Okay.
I've been seeing this a lot on like the custom shop Instagram and stuff like that. It's very cool.
Is it fairly new?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
This will be interesting, because when we go through these old Frontline mags, we can compare the custom shop artists to what we've got now.
So if you go on the custom shop site, you can search by body shape, and the options are Stratocaster, Telecaster, Jazzmaster, Esquire, Jaguar, and Nocaster.
Right.
So no Mustangs.
Right.
Like I say, I assume you can do one.
Yeah, you can do one. I wouldn't be surprised if you can spec it.
Yeah.
Like you say, they'll make anything if you've got enough money.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
We didn't think a few weeks ago that you could ask for a house Tyrell or whatever. I wonder if they'll do the other houses that they haven't already done. Like if you went, I really love, I don't know. Yeah, Tyrell's one that's not covered, is it?
I'm a big fan of the Karstarks.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I really need a Lord Umber P bass. Is that something that can happen? I bet you could get it made.
I'm not sure, because that you move into kind of territory with regards to licensing and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know?
I think the people at Game of Thrones would probably be like, this is so ridiculous that we could probably go for it. Shall we have a look at these frontline magazines?
Yeah, sure. Oh, we need the magazine jingle. Hang on a sec, wait.
Magazines. 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 So this first one I've got is from 1999, Jeff Beck on the cover. And in fact, it says Jeff Beck, who else? So things advertised on the front. Yeah, just a load of stuff about Fender. And then one of the big pluses of this magazine apparently is the complete Fender catalogue, which is essentially what this magazine is. It's a Fender catalogue with some other stuff. So let's have a look for some highlights in here. I think the thing that's kind of jumped out to me was the custom shop things that are listed. Let me just find it, because they're very, very different to what we think of the custom shop now. This is taking ages to find. Men read magazines on a podcast. So custom shop stuff in here. Yeah, here we go. Fender custom shop. So, the custom classic models are the first thing in here. So, this is basically like non-period correct custom shop versions of the standard guitar. So, you've got the American classic Strat, which looks like a kind of 60 Strat, essentially. But they've got in like two-point trem and block saddles rather than the traditional, you know, like 50 style.
Yeah.
And I guess that was, do you remember they did the custom classics in about 2013 or something? I think we talked about them on the GAC podcast.
Yeah.
This is kind of that, basically, but very much in a kind of, I think what they've done is they've gone
custom
for
deluxe.
What, custom deluxe?
Custom,
you're right.
Deluxe.
Yeah. So what they've gone for is like modern features, but on old style guitar.
That was absolutely the custom deluxe.
And there's also another version of that, which is the classic player Strat, which again has kind of taken elements. It looks like a 50 Strat, but it's
classic player.
Yeah, the classic player Strat. There we go. So it's that is like a deluxe Strat, American deluxe, but with like press saddles in there and like vintage noiseless and stuff. So I guess what they're doing here is taking like modern features and putting them on old style guitars. There's also an American classic Tele, which is weird because it's like 50s looking, but it's got a 3-ply plate and a modern bridge and like block saddles. Something that you wouldn't, you know, again, it's like that modern features on an old school style guitar. And also the vintage precision bass custom. So kind of like a 50s bass, like an early P bass style, but it's got PJ configuration.
Okay.
And also it's got like a arm contour on there, so a very kind of strange combination. But the most interesting guitar on this page is the Set Neck Tele Junior. So what, ooh, this is, so imagine a
look at that.
Yeah, so it's a
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mahogany body, Honduran mahogany, Set Neck Tele with two P90s. So very much, if you were looking for like a Les Paul Junior, this would be the kind of Fender equivalent. And it looks great. They did a few of these guitars, and I think we'll come to some more in a minute where they're like other Tele Juniors. But yeah, next page, the Showmaster series. So Showmaster, I think, is a term that's been given to Fender guitars that are like super strats, essentially. So what you've got here, Jay's wincing at these.
No, I'm just trying to this light coming in. I'm not wincing. I'm trying to focus my retinas.
Get past the hangover. So, yeah, Showmaster is a weird term because it's been applied to like quite a few different guitars that Fender and Squire have done over the years. Like Squire Showmaster was a big thing for a while when Fender were trying to compete with like, it was around the time of nu metal, I guess.
Yeah.
And they were trying to compete with
PRS.
More like Jackson and Ibanez and stuff like that. But these, I guess, are the highest end the Showmaster series has ever gone. So these are weird, like, carved top strats with, like, humbucker in the bridge and then two single coils. And they do a few different ones, like the Showmaster Standard, like, all the body with carved top. Very weird.
That is very weird.
And... yeah, they look like kind of Ibanez-y, I guess, or like Sur kind of vibe to them. And there's, I think there's four different models. They do also some set neck ones, which again, I think are older, which is very weird. And they're all like flamey maple kind of stuff. Also some Time Machine stuff. So again, this is what we're talking about, what the catalogue used to be like. Whereas now, like you say, you can select a few different models. You've basically got Time Machine, you've got 51 Nocaster in three different finishes. So you've got new old stock, closet classic, or relic. 60 Strat in new old stock, closet classic, or relic. 56 Strat, which is, kind of Hank Marvin-y style guitar in the three finishes. And then a 69 Strat, so that's like big headstock, what you'd think of as like a 70s Strat. 63 Telecaster.
63?
Yeah, very odd. So it's kind of, it's basically, that gives you your maple or rosewood options, I guess. So you've got, if you want a maple neck telly, you go for the 51 Nocaster.
I see, yeah, yeah.
If you want a rosewood, then you get the 63.
63s are very weird here. Yeah. Like, recently there's been, I mean, obviously the 62 has been a very common, Time Machine year.
That's been the go-to.
Yeah, but then also there was an American Vintage 64 for a while, yeah, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it's weird like to just go, yeah, 63, that's the year we're deciding on for this. Weirdly, the only bass in the Time Machine series is a 64 Jazz. So that is 60-style jazz, but with three controls rather than the double concentrics, which, to be honest, makes way more sense because dual concentrics just aren't very good, in my opinion. But yeah, weird to see there's no P bass in the Time Machine series. So it looks like the only custom shop P bass available outside of the artist models is that one that we talked about before, which is the 50 style bass with P jazz pickups, the P bass classic player or whatever it was called. Very, very odd. And then my favorite bit of the custom shops are the custom artist models. So here's your roster of custom artist models.
Okay, let me
see how many you can guess.
Clapton.
No. Let me just double check.
I mean, there's got to be a Clapton in there. Oh my God, how many pages are there?
There is not a Clapton.
Okay. Beck?
There is... I think not a Jeff Beck. No Jeff Beck. Because those were two production models at the time. Production, signature production.
Okay.
Like regular American signatures.
Okay. SRV?
There is no... Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay. Kurt Cobain?
No, there's definitely not Kurt Cobain. Do you want me to read
the
list? So, let me just... Yeah, fine. So, first up, Robert Cray Stratocaster.
Okay.
Which is a hardtail 60s style
Strat. It's a great guitar, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they've done that in the... They did a Mexican one for a long time.
They did a Mexico version, yeah.
I don't know if that's still available.
Don't know.
In very weird colours. He had like purple...
Inca silver.
Purple. And polka dot?
No, that's the Buddy Guy.
You're right, that is Buddy Guy. So, that is... I mean, I don't really know. Apart from it being a hardtail Strat and it's got gold hardware, there's nothing particularly odd about it. Next up, Dick Dale.
Oh, right. Wow, okay.
Dick Dale Strat. So that is three... It's just a regular Strat, but with reverse headstock. Aztec Gold, I believe.
Okay.
Although that isn't listed here. No, Chartreuse Sparkle.
Excuse me?
Chartreuse Sparkle. And it's got all the kind of weird things that we know and love about the Dick Dale Strat. So it's the reverse slanted bridge pickup. Mm-hmm. Plus also it's just a volume control and then a three-way toggle switch for the pickups. Next up, Ritchie Blackmore Stratocaster.
Okay.
Which has a few things to note. Only two pickups. And I believe they're lace sensors, bridge and neck. There's no middle pickup. But it also comes fitted with a... Or one of the optional extras is a Roland GK2 pickup.
Yeah.
So that really kind of ages it.
There was, for the Ritchie?
For the Ritchie Blackmore.
Right, wow.
Yeah, exactly that. It's kind of 70s style Strat, I guess. But yeah, Strats with two pickups look so weird. Like just neck and bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just very odd design. Next up, what probably the coolest one on this page, Albert Collins Telecaster. So it's a... Based on a 66, so it's got a very weird logo, and it is like a Tele custom. So humbucker in the neck, single coil in the bridge, just a real kind of basic Tele, but super cool, natural. Yeah, not a huge amount to say about it. Next up, a name that I don't think I even know, Clarence White. Familiar with Clarence White?
No.
Okay, so this is a it looks, you know, like a very modern Tele. So Sunburst Strat pickup in the neck rather than a Tele pickup. But the key thing here is B bender.
Cool. Okay.
You took you a while to process what that is, I think.
Yeah, no. I was just trying to figure that all out. Okay, very cool.
Yeah, so very much a kind of country guitar. Like, that's quite a common modification, I think, for country players, is to put in Strat pickups into a Tele.
He was in the Byrds.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
He's best known as a member of the bluegrass ensemble, the Kentucky Colonels.
Okay.
And the rock band, the Byrds. Died 1973.
Right.
Died age 29.
Posthumous Telecaster.
Yeah.
Next up, Danny Gatton. Which is just a straight up Tele, I guess. There's nothing that stands out, but you've got two Joe Barden pickups.
Oh, hang on. I think Clarence White is one of the inventors of the B bender.
Right.
Just on his Wikipedia page here now, and I seem to remember. Yeah, it's. Yes, Gene Parsons. Who was also in the Byrds,
yep.
Right? Yeah, Gene Parsons and Clarence White. The device was originally called the Parsons White Pull String, later renamed the String Bender, and is now best known as the B Bender. Yeah, so they invented it.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah,
I think
we've talked about it on the podcast before, actually.
I don't listen to these things.
No, of course. I'm sure we talked about it at some point, but yeah, basically they kind of invented it.
Right.
For exactly, you know, this kind of country style.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Danny Gatton Tele is a straight up maple neck Tele. With these two Joe Barden, which is a name I'm not familiar with, kind of rails pickups in there, in a great colour, Gold Frost.
Ooh, lovely.
Which I don't think has been used on anything else. It's like a dark gold colour, which
is
kind of odd that it's called Frost.
Oh, that's the Danny Gatton.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's still current.
Right, still get it.
I think so, yeah.
Has it still got the Joe Barden pickups?
I don't know, I'll have to have a look.
And then, so our next page in this front line is the Helicasters custom artist models.
Oh my gosh.
So the band, the Helicasters, have got their own section. So really, really interesting. So Jerry Donahue Tele, which is pretty basic. It's two Strat pickups on a Sunburst Tele. Nothing really to report.
Well, the Jerry Donahue actually is a quality guitar. That's got a really, really sharp V neck.
Yes. Yes.
It's got a really sharp V-neck, and it's wicked. We had a few come through GAC when I was there over the years.
Okay.
Friend of the podcast, Joe Puttick, has a Jerry Donahue, or at least did have.
Really?
Yes. Great guitar. Really, really cool.
Okay.
Japanese, I think.
Well, this is the custom shop, but I think there have been other models
as
well.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, isn't there one... It's different spec to this because I think they've got edge bound. In fact, there definitely is a Jerry Donahue, which is an edge-bound Japanese telly, because a friend of mine used to have one in Candy Apple Red.
I don't think it's Candy Apple. I think it was a Dakota or right. a Cardinal
or something.
You're
right. You're right. Yeah,
it's
it was like
really
a flat
nice.
Colour.
Yeah, really nice.
Now we're talking about it. I remember, yeah, the V is very pronounced.
Really, really pronounced. Yeah.
So the John Jorgensen telly, which is in Champagne Sparkle and Silver Sparkle. Two interesting pickup selections here. So you've got, basically, in the bridge, two Strat pickups kind of pushed together. Or I say they're pushed together. They're humbucking pickups, but they're made to look like Fender pickups. So, yeah, it looks like two Strat pickups pushed together on a massive Tele bridge plate. And then in the neck, you've got two Tele neck pickups kind of squished together that kind of is a humbucker, but looks like two Tele pickups. And, yeah, some cool colours on that. I mean, if you wanted to buy a replacement bridge for that, God knows what you would do, because that is so custom. It looks like... it's massive, basically. It's a massive vintage Tele bridge plate with the routing for these two Strat pickups. Very odd. And then last, the Will Ray Mojo Tele, which I'd say Mojo is the right way. The finish on it, which is actually listed as ultramarine blue or cadmium orange or lime green, looks like the design that you'd see on like MC Hammer pants. it's got that kind of vibe to it. But yeah, I mean, it's about as far from a standard telly as you could imagine. So, so the finish actually is interspersed. So they've got the colours, ultramarine blue, cadmium orange and lime green. The texture on it that makes it look like MC Hammer pants is 23K gold leaf.
Oh my gosh.
Indeed. Yeah, he's gone all out with this. So you've also got inlays as well. Voodoo skull inlays.
Yes, mate.
On every...
my favourite type of skull.
On all of the frets that you'd imagine. So where there should be a dot, there's a skull on each of them. You've also got two Jazzmaster pickups. Yeah. Jazzmaster pickups and the Jazzmaster circuit in there. Very, very...
on a telly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very odd indeed. And there's also some sort of... I think it's a B-bender as well. They don't actually specify in the spec, but it's got like... you know, like those Duesenberg, like hammer...
yeah, MC
controls?
Hammer. Yeah.
MC Hammer. Yeah. So he's gone... oh, you know, please hammer, don't hurt me. He's gone all out on the hammer... things on this guitar. So yeah, it's got like those whatever they're called, the like B-bender arms for the Duesenberg guitars. And that's about it. There's also Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard and Jaco Pastorius guitars that were in the range for a long time from the custom shop. And then they go into some of the mad stuff that they've built. You know, there's like ridiculous, they call it your masterpiece, but there's like guitars that have got all kind of jazz all over them. This one has got like pinstriping up the neck, four pickups that have got pinstriping on them, four micro toggles, two volumes, two switches, five-way switch, and then all sorts of kind of like rockabilly imagery on there as well. They've got like, you know, an eight ball and a hot rod engine and stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty different from what we know as the custom shop right now, I guess.
Yeah, so just to pick up on something that you asked a minute ago about the Danny Gatton, it is still in the catalog. It's still just like a, you know, standard model. Bill Lawrence designed pickups now, though.
Okay, interesting.
Based on Gatton's original, so I assume that was the whatever it was that you said.
The Rob Barden or someone Barden. Yeah. Joe Barden.
Yes. So yeah, that's cool. So just something to. Something that I've found that's quite interesting in this magazine. So this is the January 2002 Illustrated Price Guide. And yeah, as I say, it's absolutely branded as the Fender Illustrated Price Guide.
Yeah.
£4.
Yep.
You know, £4 to your punter.
I remember this exact one. Like, we used to have these knocking around the shop.
So it's on the front. And the thing that I think is really interesting is on the front, it's, you know, Fender. And then it has the sub-brands. So Squire, Fender Custom Shop, Guild, Benedetto, which I don't remember.
Jazz guitars.
Okay.
Very, very expensive.
And then Passport. So, but this is very, which is the PA. Now, this is all, as I say, very, very Fender-y. And the
surprising, it's the Fender catalog.
Well, yes. However, the thing that you need to remember is in 2002, Fender was still was not direct.
Yes.
In the UK. I think in Germany they were.
I hadn't even thought about this.
Yeah. So Fender was actually distributed by a company called Arbiter.
Yeah.
In 2002. I think it's maybe around that sort of time that it Fender went direct.
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember exactly when it... this would be 17 years ago. So around this time, it will be Fender started to go direct and Arbiter weren't doing it anymore. But what that means is that although this is branded as the Fender price catalog, actually, once you get past all the Fender stuff, there's a load of other brands that Arbiter also distribute in this. So for example, Digitech. So, because to begin with, I was like, why are there all these adverts?
Yeah, because it looks like a guitar magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not. So it's because, again, there are, there's just a load of product information in here. So this little blurb on the whammy is fantastic. 10 years on, just when you thought it was safe to go back to the guitar shop, the whammy is back.
So this is release of Whammy 4, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that is.
Is it 4?
That's the 4, yeah.
Okay. So, new dive bomb preset, new MIDI in for remote control. Fantastic.
Yes, that's right. That's the thing that they added on the 4 that everyone was raving about, is MIDI control.
Okay. And then you've got all the RP series multi effects, so the RP100, the RP200, the RP300.
Absolutely dreadful.
The BP200.
Dreadful. That BP200 is one of the worst pedals ever made.
It's got the preset that's up there is slapping.
Yeah, exactly what we want.
Then the GNX series, which I think were their like kind of higher end.
They were.
Modeling effects.
Indeed, yeah. And they had like drum machines and stuff built in. And...
Right, okay. So you've got here. So for example, the GNX 2 is 450 quid.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah, totally. And they were definitely going after the kind of like 96 pod market. There was like a lot more emphasis on modeling.
Well, I mean, then you've got the Genesis 1, which just looks exactly like a pod.
So
except for the fact that it's not a kidney bean.
Yeah, the deal with that was that they just took the modeling out of the GNX series and put it in like a desktop modeler called the Genesis. I don't ever remember selling one of those because, you know, pod was so established at that time. It was like... Someone comes in for amp modeling, what are you going to sell them? You're going to sell them the pod because that is what people want. Yeah, I remember those Digitech units not being particularly good.
I'm also a huge fan of this little insert here that says, that has the title Warp Factor.
Yeah.
And then it says, firstly, you can choose and edit two stunning amp, tunable cabinet, and microphone placement combinations.
Okay.
That's it.
That's just what.
But it starts with firstly.
Fantastic.
Okay. And then you've got the Digitech vocal products.
Sold a lot of these, mate.
Again, man, like the Vocalist Workstation is a what is that? Is that I don't know how many tracks it's got.
It's like effects and kind of harmony processor.
Professional quality 2, 3, 4, or 5 part stereo harmony.
Yeah.
600 quid.
Yes. Again, didn't sell too many of those.
Vocalist Performer, Vocalist VR, and then what's wicked is the page about the Dodd pedals.
See, when you were scrolling through that, because I'd completely forgotten that this had Arbiter products in it as well. When you were scrolling through, I was like, those Fender pedals look a lot like Dodd pedals.
No, yeah, so they are Dodd pedals. So all Dodd pedals, $69.95.
Sweet.
And so here's your rundown of the Dodd pedals at the time. The Supra Distortion. Classic amp in air quotes type distortion. The Vibro Fang.
That's a great Matt. He's still got one of those on his board.
Does he?
Yeah, loves it.
The Stereo Phaser, the Graphic 7-band EQ, the Envelope Filter, the Mystic Blues, the Flanger, the Bass Overdrive, the Flashback. Interesting.
Flashback Fuzz.
Flashback Fuzz.
Yeah. That's a pretty iconic pedal. It's got a kind of like...
Kind of like a Paisley design on it.
60s Paisley vibe going on.
The Death Metal Point of No Return Distortion, which is the one that looks like it's covered in blood.
God.
The Icebox Shimmering Chorus with high EQ. That sounds great. I mean, I'm sure it sounds terrible.
Yeah, but like my recollection is it doesn't sound great.
the grunge, of course, pedal we all know and love, and the Milk Box.
Yep.
Funky compressor, smooth, and 70s.
People really rate that.
Really?
Which is weird, because I remember them sounding very bad. But yeah, I've seen a few people recently who are like, oh, I've got one of these, always been after one of them.
Milk Box. But yeah, and then you've got a load of PA stuff. So there's the M Pro, the Eon G2.
This is all
this is JBL now.
Yeah.
And then yeah, a bunch of AKG like wireless systems. Which I tell you what, these look so rubbish.
We could not sell enough. We couldn't get enough of those to what? Sell. People absolutely loved them. Unfortunately, they fell apart.
Well,
very
yeah, I mean,
quickly.
They. I mean, the so there's what there's the GB40, which is a wireless guitar system.
The Guitar Bug. That's what GB stands for.
Oh, does it?
That's what the range was called.
Right. Okay. But oh yeah, Guitar Bug. Yeah. But the like the jack input, the actual jack, the bit that would go into your guitar, can like, it's like malleable.
Yeah,
it's
moves,
like,
it moves around.
Yeah. That's just gonna snap off. It's just going to snap off in your guitar.
Guess what, Jay? Plenty of them did. But yeah, they
with
did
its flex jack trademark.
Indeed.
I bet it wasn't trademarked. Swiveling jack plug. The new WMS-40 Micro Tool Series Guitar Bug will make...
Guitar Bog.
Guitar Bog.
If you're buying one of these, you're stuck in the Guitar Bog.
Will mate with any electric guitar.
That's got to be a mistranslation. That's horrible.
And its price will match any budget. The GB40 Guitar Bug is one of three WMS-40 micro tools. Oh my gosh. Okay.
They're really getting into the weeds with the telling you the frequencies and stuff.
Yeah, it's all going on here.
Do you know what? It was the first time that like wireless stuff was super affordable.
Yeah, I bet. Well, yeah, because this is only the transmitter. Oh, so you've got to buy them separately by the looks of things. Transmitter and receiver are 89 and 120 quid. Respectively.
Yeah, so for basically 200 quid, you could get the pair.
Inclusive of VAT at 17.5%. Remember when VAT was 17.5%?
The great times. it was the first time people could afford wireless stuff. So we'd get tons of like young bands coming and being like, you know what, I've seen that band Blink 182 and how they jump around. So what I need to do is go wireless, not realizing that obviously someone like Blink or Green Day or whatever are using very expensive road hardy systems.
Yeah.
And then you get people like, I bought this and like I did a jump on stage and it's just like fallen out and snapped. It's like, yeah, you've paid 80 quid for it and they're not particularly well designed. Sorry. But things have got a lot better, you know, like the Line 6 systems and stuff now, and the new Boss one, really good.
Yeah. I mean, even by all accounts, that... who makes the Golden Brownie? X5.
Yeah.
Even that X5 one apparently is really
definitely,
good.
Definitely, definitely. And I think a lot of it is down to how the technology is... improved, you know, like those small systems you can make digital now rather than using the kind of radio frequencies that the Samson was or whatever it was that AKG was using. Things have come a long way since then.
I just find that, and then the last couple pages are kind of accessories and stuff, which actually I will be taking a very close look at because there's some cool stuff in here. But what's really interesting is like, bear in mind this magazine, this price list is nearly 20 years old. It's all still the same price. Strings, a fiver, picks, 4 quid, cables, 12 quid.
Yeah.
It's all still the same price.
Totally. And I find it so funny when people would come into the guitar shop and be like, oh, Ernie Balls have gone up, haven't they? Those, I used to pay 6 quid for them. It's like, yeah, 10 years ago, and they're now £6.50. So I'm sure you can make the stretch. Don't worry. They've really, really held the price. I like the merch page that you're on
now. There's some good stuff on here, actually.
Mouse mats.
The mouse mats, we still do some mouse mats. Yep, still do some mouse mats. CD storage case, that's lovely. Fender watches, wow, 80 quid. They look all right.
I bet they're not for 80 quid.
Bowling shirt, why not? Vintage tees. One of those vintage t-shirts that's in this, we actually just about to reissue. Like, nice. Genuinely. And they were vintage in 2002.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Are they still going to be £17.99?
Then they're £19.99. Oh, sorry. And actually, they're going to be £17.99.
Fantastic.
So the t-shirts have gone down in price.
Fantastic.
So yeah, the thing that I think is funny about this though is, like, you know, you've paid £4 for your illustrated price, for your Fender illustrated price guide, and there's just a bunch of Digitech stuff in there and that. So yeah. Very, very weird. But just interestingly, I was thinking, like, oh, I wonder what's going on with Arbiter, because I haven't heard about them for a while. And I've just, the website here is arbitergroup.com, yeah. And it is for sale.
Really?
So I don't know if that means Arbiter don't exist anymore.
They must do. I mean, because they carried on for a long time, but then all the stuff with Digitech happened where they got bought out by, like, they were like AKG and stuff all got sold off to someone else,
right? Okay.
Like the Harman Group, I think, got sold, and in fact I think they're owned by Samsung now.
I thought it was all Digitech.
Yeah, I think all that stuff split off, but anyway, this is all inside knowledge. And with that, we should actually kind of wrap this episode up. Sorry it's been a bit of a weird one. It's just two blokes chatting, isn't it? And
you're apologising to me?
Reading magazines. Yeah, sorry it's been a bit of a weird one.
Oh yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm used to it.
Yeah, I know. This is what we do. We've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
We'll never stop.
No. Thanks for letting us look at magazines and talk about them. It's fantastic
if
radio.
If anything, blame Joe Branton, because the news that he dug up this week was really boring.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are we going to do about reading the names out?
Oh, I have you got a lit? Oh, I forgot about that. Hang on a sec.
You get the names up. Oh, and I will say, we're going to do some more stuff on Patreon. I think what we're going to do is go back and answer some listener questions. And if you want to be involved in that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode, ad-free and early. At $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every single week. As well as other stuff we've been doing on there. There's mini-series from a while ago, Branton's Rant On. Up until recently, we were doing the Hall of Fame. There's more stuff coming, some extra stuff on there. Maybe even mod mode. I was thinking about
Mate,
it.
Mate, you can't go down that route. You can't go down that route again.
Because
the amount of crap that we got for not doing mod mode after talking about
now,
it for ages.
Now, Joe's got the studio set up and we could easily film a mod mode. It could be Patreon exclusive. I need the guitar out of my house because there's another one coming this week.
The Pink Sparkle.
The Pink Sparkle
Affinity.
Strat. Okay. I've also got some pickups from a long time ago, Fletcher pickups, which we promised to do something with.
Yeah.
They need to go in there as well. We're getting, like, offers from, like, accessory and upgrade companies all the time to do stuff. Now's the perfect time for mod mode. So
mod mode.
I'm not saying it will be on Patreon, but what I'm saying is if you pledge $5 a month, there is a chance that you will see mod mode. If you want to pledge $10 a month for this gold that you've received this week, you will get your name read out on the regular podcast like these people have.
Okay, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this because I'm certainly not going to even attempt it in one breath.
Okay.
There's a lot of names on here. I normally kind of just tune out when Joe starts.
Yeah, 100%. I normally stand up, go to the toilet or whatever.
Well, are you gonna give me some backing music? Can you do the Simpsons theme? Are we gonna get sued for this? Okay, fine.
I don't know if we'll get sued.
Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce Crisp, Jack Cutmore, Rob Cousins, Rob Gruhl, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emery James Baker, Juan Correa, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Luzith, Hans Ams, sorry, I'm supposed to say Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordvik, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, DJ Mark Cross, Michael McVeigh, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Toms, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moog Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Keynes, Sean Arbo, Christopher Wolfman,
You can also follow us on Facebook. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, and on YouTube, where Joe has been posting regular videos.
How about that?
Guitar Nerds videos on YouTube. Do go and subscribe and listen to Joe's insane ramblings. Normal service will resume next week.
Maybe.
I really hope this is recorded okay, because God knows if it has.
There's lots of red lights flashing on that iRig.
Oh, no. Oh.